Welcome back, everybody. Today is all about brains. I'm speaking to Christian Shepcha of Brains, chief of propaganda over there, speaking about firmware, pools, and a lot more. Stay tuned. All right, guys, thank you for tuning in. Like I said in the introduction, I'm here with Christian of Brains, chief of propaganda. Christian, how are you?
Let's go. Ciao. Very good. Very good. It's Friday. It's Friday. I love it.
Yeah, Friday morning. We are at
It's Friday. Bitcoin is pumping. I'm on a podcast with a cool friend, so hey, cannot get any better.
Life is good. We are at block height 830700. The 30-day hash rate is at 543.8 exahashes. The hash price just took another hit after being at around 90, low 90s. We're now back to low 80s. After that huge difficulty adjustment came in, nodes around the world saying, hold up, wait a minute, there's too much hash going on. We're too quick. Let's get back to the 10 minutes, shall we? Yeah, Christian, how are you? Friday morning, what's new at Brains? What's happening?
What's happening? Quite a lot of things. We're just, so it's not even official, but just yesterday we signed a crucial acquisition. I'm not going to say what, but just yesterday it was signed and the deal is done.
Nice.
So in a month you can expect a big, big new product fitting our whole Brains ecosystem. So that's going to be huge in the next month. Then I just returned from Dubai. There was a great, great conference, Bitcoin Oasis. I was a little bit skeptical how it will go. You know, it's first time in Dubai, first time Bitcoin-only conference. So I was expecting more like just local people showing up interested in Bitcoin. But it was one of the best conferences ever, like energy folks from Texas, you know, infrastructure providers from China. So it was magnificent. I'm just in the process of hiring I'm expanding the marketing team. So exciting times. Yeah.
Good. And so what was special about that? I wanted to ask you a bit about that conference. I didn't have the pleasure to go this time around. Has that ever been sort of the focus of any conference, marrying sort of the Western world with the Asian and getting everybody into some rooms together to get some stuff done?
So I never heard about Bitcoin only conference in that region. My first experience was last year on Blockchain Live. I highly recommend Blockchain Live. The name sounds terrible, I know, but because of the strategic position, it's very easy for Russian miners and Chinese companies to go to Dubai. It's close and it's very easy with the visa. So it is very, very strategic. And of course, there's a lot of mining happening around it. So I actually went to Blockchain Live in September last year, I think. And I was very surprised. It was even though it was a crypto conference, it was like 80% miners, 80% energy infrastructure mining companies. So I was very impressed. So now we went to the Bitcoin Oasis, like first time Bitcoin only conference. And I really liked the premise because it was like a smaller, intimate, invite only sort of setup. But I was a little bit skeptical of, it's always about the guest list, right? If the guest list sucks, the conference sucks. But they did a great job, really. From energy, crypto power from Texas, miners from Russia, China. Ethiopia was a big topic there. I was really impressed. So highly recommend if you guys put it on your list next year. Dubai is booming in Bitcoin and mining. So it's worth checking out. And if you're interested, definitely check out, because it's going to be next year, the Bitcoin Oasis. So if you're interested in checking the region now, the Blockchain Live is happening twice a year, actually. So the first one is in April this year and the second one is in October. We're definitely going. Highly recommended, really.
Nice. I mean, yeah, shout out, I guess, to Swiss Alice and Lena that I've also met before, and all the other organizers. Then I guess I'll have to put it on my list for next year. What's your what's your take on mining in the Middle East currently? Like, we're seeing a lot of sort of artisan miners, I want to call it, smaller scale on private land, sheikhs. You get the big marathon projects going on. What's your feeling around mining in the Middle East currently?
We're just getting to know that region, I would say. We didn't know much about it. We're just getting there, finding more information, etc. So, for example, for me, completely new information was when I was on Blockchain Live that there is a in UAE, the country, there's like an agriculture tariff for electricity. So you have a land that you use for agriculture. I don't know. I don't know what they grow in the desert, but hey, there is some agriculture. I don't know. They're super high tech there, so I'm not amazed that much. So you have a agriculture farm, like a big projects, and then they get very, very good rates for electricity from the government. Naturally, I think it's still cheaper for them to, you know, sort of help the agriculturists than import all the things from around the world. So they have very cheap electricity. So they just got like a exception that part of that, or like the unused buffer, they can use for mining. Don't quote me on the number, if it can be 10% or 15%. I don't know. I know it's like a small portion of it, like the unused or the extra sort of you can use for mining. And the price, don't quote me, but it was like 2 cents. Wow. Something like that. Like amazing. Like I was blown away. So it is booming there. Like so nice. that was completely new information to me. So I'm not surprised that a lot of people are moving there. The taxes are great there. The infrastructure, like it's logistics hub. So flying there a team is great. Shipping all the infrastructure from China, it's super easy. Like there is no better connected place than Dubai. It's just that there's a extremely smart workforce. Extremely smart people there, so like hiring, you know, technicians, etc., so easy. Of course, you're gonna have it's gonna cost you, but hey, 2 cents a kilowatt.
I think you have to be a sheikh, right? You have to be like a local Emirati to make use of that tariff or find a partner. I guess
I really don't know. I know about people like maybe it's joint ventures, maybe it's some partnerships. I didn't go that deep, but I know about the development from a Spanish guy. But of course, I didn't ask the super details if he's building it for them and then he'll just run it or partnership. I don't know, but it's happening, so it can be done. That's my point.
Nice. Yeah, I wanted to talk to you a bit about the conference first of all, get your sort of feelings about it. Anything maybe that you learned that was new?
It was big.
And was there anything that like super surprised you? Like if you had to take two things that you didn't know before?
That was definitely Ethiopia. I'm really sorry. There's 24 hours in the day. I didn't know about the booming Ethiopia market for mining. I really didn't know. I somehow missed it.
Yeah.
And I met a lot of projects going there. Extremely interesting. I think it's going to be even bigger than Paraguay mining.
It's very crowded. I think there's around 20 people from, I mean, I've done an interview before on for the show as well with Nemo. That was number 4, who is running QRB Labs, who's setting up shop there as well. And there's, I think, 20 licenses. But the thing is that there's not much active right now, right? Everybody's still sort of setting up and getting their first hashes going.
Yeah.
I think there's one Chinese company that has stuff running there. But it's coming. Just recently, yesterday, we had the news of $250 million being invested by the Ethiopian Investment Committee or Fund or whatever. So very crowded. I set up my company, Christian, thinking, oh, I'm going to bring hash rate to Africa. I'm going to help doing that. And all of a sudden, just Ethiopia explodes.
Boom. I remember us talking about it a year ago, yeah?
Yeah.
And now it's like the next big thing.
It's insane. Yeah. And I think it's going to be a stepping stone because there's a lot of... I don't think misallocation of capital to build energy generation is as crazy anywhere as it is in Africa. And so if you combine that with the lack of infrastructure transmission-wise, you know, you look at Uganda, Angola just buying Bitcoin mining, but similar situation. You get a bunch of stranded assets here in South Africa, Nigeria, the Northern African state, like a bunch of concentrated solar, wind projects, all of those sort of funded... not all of them, but a large amount of those funded by, you know, Western government aid money.
Yep.
And there's no use for them in many cases, you know, and then, you know,
And if it works in Ethiopia, it's going to be like a big domino effect.
Yes.
Like everybody's will like, exactly. Hey, we want that too. We want that money and investments coming in and, you know, so
100%. Magnificent.
Again, Bitcoin mining, saving the world, not boiling the
ocean. It's a Trojan horse. I tweeted that just yesterday, right?
Yeah.
misallocation of capital, Bitcoin miners go seek energy, only consumer, and then all of a sudden these countries are signing $250 million Bitcoin mining deals.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a, yeah, it's a very interesting field. It keeps being very interesting, and it doesn't even matter.
By the way, just to give the scale,
go ahead.
So I've heard that there are 2 or 3 gigawatts, and energized is 200 to 500 megawatts.
You're off.
So there's an insane potential.
The hydro dam, the GERD, the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam alone, is the largest hydro dam in Africa. And it's got, I always said 6, but I think it's 5.15 megawatts. Mm-hmm. And off of that, they're using 15%. There's like two turbines only.
Then you heard even better numbers than I did.
Yeah, and that's not the only one. Like, just to quickly recap, again, I did a whole episode on this. If people are interested, they can go listen to
it. I will have to watch.
But there's 90% hydro in the grid mix in Ethiopia. 90%. You know, it's country with a lot of elevation, a lot of rainfall, good climate for mining as well. Mm-hmm. It's not terribly hot. And so, yeah, I mean, it's almost like Nemo likes to say the Middle East of hydro, you know. So that's very energy rich.
But I will have to, one question mark that I have is like the political situation. Because I really know like zero, not next to zero, but zero about it. And from what I heard, there was a like sort of like a civil war or like a some like conflict like just 2 years ago, you know. So it's like it is risky, so I will have to do more research on it for sure, because I know very little about it. And you know, people investing hundreds of millions of dollars and just like a huge armed conflict like 2 years ago, I need to know more about
it. It's definitely worth looking into. Let's talk more about brains though, Christian.
Sure. Hey, anytime. I'm at the propaganda guy.
You kind of work there. Yeah So tell me, first of all, chief of propaganda, where did that title come from? Whose brainchild is that?
So actually, how it could create. So by the way, there's the best book on marketing that you can read ever, and it's called Propaganda by Bernays. I think that's how it stuck in university down like my unconsciousness. So I completely forgot about it. Like, if you want to nail marketing, definitely read that book, and don't read anything else. I mean, and then we were on a conference last year. And somehow, I don't know, you know, third beer or something, and I was like, introducing myself, and nobody knows the CMO. Like, what is that? Chief of Management? That doesn't matter. So I was tired of it. So I was like, hey, I'll just call myself like a propaganda guy. And I used it once, and they started laughing like hell. So I was like, hey, this works. And if it works, if it stucks in their head, that's marketing done right. So since then, I'm using it.
100%. All right. So, yeah. All right. So I mean, you guys are most famous for your OS, I would say, for your firmware that you have.
The pool and firmware. Yes. Yeah. Those two things.
Okay. So let's talk about that. I mean, just read recently some news, which prompted me to ask you if you wanted to hop on here, that said firmware OS Plus gives machines a boost in winter. And I think that was just right around the time where we saw a large hash rate drop from the chilly temperatures in that we saw Texas. In Texas, right? So how does that work, Christian? Tell me more about how your OS helps, you know, frozen Bitcoin mines.
So it's going to give you efficiency boost wherever you're mining, but the cold climate, so we're just, and how it works, we Bitmain per default, so we support only Bitmain machines currently. So what Bitmain does is like sets the frequency and the like workload that it gives to each individual chip in each machine, like on the same level. So, and very, very simple, so that each machine that they produce are uniform. Imagine that you would be producing like S19s, and one company would get slightly better version and the other was slightly worse. That would be terrible. So they just like set the default limit on all the chips and say, hey, this machine will perform this and this. So it's very simple. But we say, hey, no, you can actually inspect each individual chip, say, hey, this silicon is better, this silicon is worse. So we fine tune each individual chip, and then the whole machine works a little bit better. But of course, then it's not uniform, because you can have really batch of 10 machines, and these ones work like 1% better, and these can get as high as like 15% better. So we can achieve that, but Bitmain is, for logical reasons, not doing it. But the winter weather is more towards, they don't work at all in super cold climate. It's very, 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 very strange because my logical thinking, and again, I'm not super like a technical guy, but my thinking was, hey, the colder, the better, right? Like, I remember when I was young and they were overclocking CPUs. They're putting like liquid nitrogen on it, like minus 200 Celsius, something crazy. So I thought the same applies to ASICs, or like to mining machines. And it's not the case. Like Bitmain chips to run off, or Bitmain machines to run optimally, they need 60 degrees Celsius, which is quite hot, by the way. And now imagine there's like minus 20 in Siberia. Those machines don't want to even start working. It's really crazy. So what we did, we changed the, really, it's just, by the way, yes, if you're in minus 40, I think our update will still not help. It's like, hey, in minus 40, there should be no electronics, basically. It's like, no, it's hitting the physical limitation, like physics stop working your electronics. So it's like, it's too cold. But if you're in like a reasonably cold, like minus 20, which is still pretty crazy, we help with the algorithms that help like the starting process. And then, you know, so we fine tune that it even starts working. But we had even, so we fine tune that, and there are some other implications, like how DPS works. That's one of the features that manages the power consumption, etc. So we had to fine tune for the really, really cold climates, because we had, and it was based on request. So we had several large farms that said, hey, we need those helps. Like, it's failing, we cannot start, etc. So it was like a demand response from our side. One interesting story. So really, one farm, we told them, hey, get hair dryers and electrical heating and heat up the container, otherwise you will not start.
Yeah, I mean, so I've heard stories that people are using Watts miners to basically preheat the containers that they have, because they do start up. And then, you know, as soon as the ambient temperature sort of rises, they sort of turn off all the fans inside the container, rise the temperature, and then they switch on the N minus afterwards.
Yeah, I didn't know it's true. So it really, it is not true across ASICs all. What's mine is a little bit less sensitive to temperatures in general, even on the operational temperatures. So Bitmain, they need 60, but what's mine is very more flexible. And by the way, if you remember S9s, I've seen a great meme from our chief of, yeah, they're the battle tanks, man. Those are gonna be legends forever.
Yeah.
So I saw a great meme from our chief of product, and he put like the, you know, the tiny dog, and then the like buffed up dog, and the tiny dog was like S19 and saying cold bad, hot bad, everything is bad. S19s are like they're like scared little dog, and S9s was like the ripped dog and saying, I don't care, like if it's hot cold, I'm hashing, even if the chips are falling off, I'm still hashing.
Yeah,
S9s are beasts, really.
What do you know what the reason is for that? I mean, Watts miners also, or MicroBT machines also use ASICs, like why are they, how they structured differently that they managed to start up?
It is really on architecture level. I don't have that insight, but I can get you like if you want to talk to, we have our hardware lead, and he used to teach on university, so he's a ultra nerd, but he can share the knowledge in the sense that perfect. People understand it. So I would highly recommend that.
Yeah, that's
there's perfect. Really like there's so many parameters in the chip, in the hashboard design, all of it together. Very different behavior you can get.
Okay, and do you know what the reason is behind you guys supporting only Antminers?
So it was a business decision back in the day. So we started working, like we released 2018, but that was like the open source version, like starting up. Anyway, we launched, I think, commercially 3 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, or it's going to be four now. And it was very, very simple business decision. You have limited resources. So we're like, hey, let's go after Bitmain because it's the dominant player. It's the machines that most of our clients have. So it was just natural to start there. Really, you have to focus your focus somewhere. That was the initial thinking. Then, of course, it started to, like, WattsMiner started to grow, but still Bitmain is the dominant player. So if you have to make a business decision, you still go after the one that has more of the market. So it's natural. But then, okay, two things. One, I'm going to shit on WattsMiner, but second one, I'm gonna give them kudos. One problem is that there are crazy a lot of variations. it's not just the machine model. It's the, so what model do you have? What chip types do they have? What control board do they have? And also what PSU do they have? So all those combinations, you're slightly changing the firmware. So it's crazy. It's really, really, it's like, I don't know, 45 firmware versions to support all the world's miners, something like that, right? It's crazy. It's a lot of work. Okay, so we're continuing on the Bitmain, but I think for the first time ever, we're catching up. Like, we're literally, we support all the main S19 models, all the control boards with remote install now. So we're just missing Hydro, S21, T21. Like, and they're, for like, thanks Bitmain, they're using the same control boards, ARM logic, they're using the chips that we already know. So it's going to be, of course, fingers crossed, but it's for the first time ever, we might catch up with Bitmain. Nice. And at that point, we can actually focus on what's miner. And one more point to the what's miner. Actually, so here it is. It's going to be a good promotion for what's miner. Send me some coupons. They're actually doing quite a good job, to be honest. So really, so we have the firmware and tuner running on some of the machines, right? Don't quote me on which one. So we have it. We have some version. But we're not achieving, like, we don't have the full focus on it, so it's not that we cannot do it. But as of now, we don't have significant enough upside, like, on Bitmain machines, so we don't want to release it as a commercial product. Because if we release it, you need to scale up the support, you need to scale up the people working on bug fixes, etc. So when we release, it has to make commercial sense. So we're not there yet. I think we'll get there during this year, hopefully. But it's a kudos to WattsMiner. They are doing better job than Bitmain. And that's why it's taking us a little bit more time to, like, overcompete them.
Yeah, I mean, look, again, the topic of Africa comes to mind. You know, typically in more, let's sort of call it rough environments for mining, MicroBT machines are preferred because they're just more durable. Yep. And they run more, and also their support, what I've heard from more than one party, is a lot more reliable, let's say,
exactly,
than the competition. Exactly. And so that obviously makes a huge difference, right? If you can have the most efficient ASIC on paper, but if it turns off and something goes wrong, and you don't have the, you know, the capabilities of turning it on again quickly, then, you know, how much of the efficiency are you losing over time?
Yeah.
And people often forget that, right? If you have, I don't know,
yeah,
if something happens and the MicroBT machine still runs, whereas the Antminer would stop because it's a bit more, yeah, a bit more little dog whiny and does not gets into trouble quickly. Yeah, it's a big question, but it's interesting that you say that MicroBT is coming. What specifically do you think are they doing right now that makes you say they are for better or getting there?
So two things. They're doing a little bit better job on the software level. They still don't put extreme focus on it, but a little bit better. Like, Bitmain is doing zero, I would say, like, literally zero. WattsMiner are doing a little bit better job, and doing a little bit better than zero is a significant difference. And then the second one really is reliability. So they focus on the architecture level. I would have to get you a hardware guy here, but on the architecture level, they are doing decisions which focus more on reliability than, like, pushing the efficiency. So, yeah. And I think that that's the smartest move ever, because if you want to outcompete number one Bitmain, yes, we can all chase, like, the 0.5 joules per terahash better efficiency, but really more and more people want reliability. Riot, a lot of platforms, they're switching completely to WattsMiner just because of the and if, like, that's a crazy big market signal, I would say.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Really, we're chasing the jewels for such a long time that we completely forgot, hey, it's about uptime.
Yeah.
Like, everybody needs uptime. Uptime is the number one king first.
100%.
Then you can, if you don't have uptime, you can have the best efficiency ever. But I mean, it's not running, man.
Yeah, no, but I think what you said is also right. I think in the medium to long term, we'll get into a situation where, you know, you can't get much more efficient on the nanometer level of the chip, right? So the question then becomes, yep, is do we have specialized ASICs? So we see that now with immersion-specific ASICs, hydro-specific ASICs, but I think mm-hmm. down the line you'll get, you know, miners that are more suitable for demand response programs or more suitable for heat mm-hmm. reuse or this or that. And I think a software that runs along with that is quite important, because at the end of the day, if the hardware is sort of set, then all the changes are mainly happening within the software. Yep. That's where you guys are strong, right? So tell me, Christian, where did that start? Like, what was the first machine you supported and why? Like, why did you even start doing that?
Really, that's such a long time ago. So it was in the beginning, we didn't think it's going to be a commercial product, really. And now we're talking about 17, 18, right? Like back in the days, I think there was a company, don't quote me what name, some company doing some ASICs, Dragon Mint, I don't remember. And they're like, hey guys, because we, before we went to Bitcoin, I don't know, in 2007, before Bitcoin, we're doing embedded development for healthcare. So we're super nerds. Back in the days. So they're like, hey guys, we know you know Bitcoin, you're cool guys, you're nerds, help us developing a firmware for these machines that we're building. So we built I don't remember what was the company name. It was 16, 17.
It doesn't matter.
They're not around anymore. So anyway, so we built the first version of the firmware for them, and then they somehow, I think, bankrupt, or I don't know. It was before my time a little bit. And then we said, hey, but this, like, we can like bend it a little bit, develop it a little bit, and it will support S9s, because these machines are very similar to Bitmain Antminer S9s. So we start changing it, and really the first product, I think in 2018 launched, it was open source. It didn't have any significant features or efficiency gains. But we started doing it because we believe that Bitmain is hiding the ASIC boost, which just enabling ASIC boost, you get 13% better efficiency. And the story is, so we believed Bitmain has it, and Bitmain was saying, no, we don't have it. It's from a hardware architecture standpoint, not possible to do ASIC boost in S9s. And they said, so it's not possible hardware-wise. We don't have it. It's not possible. Thank you. And we said, this seems weird. So we started to reverse engineer their stuff. We started to develop our stuff for the S9s. And all of a sudden, boom, 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 we found out a proof in their system that they support ASIC boost. So in that moment, we found, oh, there's a dominant player in the space that is hiding 13%. They of course, claim it was by mistake, right? It's like a 6-year-old would not believe that story, but they're still claiming it. I think they have no other choice. It's better sounding story than we're supporting ASIC boost. We're giving it to our friends who support Bitcoin Cash in China. So of course they will claim not this story, right? So we found it. We published the proof. In 2 days, they enabled a worldwide software firmware update, enabling it to all players around the world. So in that moment, we said, hey, somebody should be doing the operating system better. Because like, if this is the case for 2 years in the market, and really like the rest of the world doesn't have 13% better efficiency, we need more competition. Like, we are going after this market. This is how it started. It was like, we should do better. This should not be the case. And there was even the other story with like the backdoor to Antminers, etc. So like, no. We don't like this. Ever since, it's really the case, we're bringing features that the stock firmware doesn't have. So it's not just about the efficiency gains that we can get, which is, hey, who doesn't want 10% better profitability, right? But there are even features like that they're not developing. They're not doing them. Like, just the stupidest one, right? Is the immersion mode. So we have immersion mode, which basically says, turn off the fans. Like, don't use the fans. It's stupid, simple. Feature in Bitmain stock firmware, it's not possible. So when you plug out the fan, the system says no, you don't have a fan. I'll not run the machine.
Oh, come on.
So you have to buy a fan spoofer, which is less, I don't know, $4, like faking. So now imagine you have 100 machines.
It's closest to circuit. Just to explain that quickly, like there's a circuit on the board, and you just close the circuit with something else. Yeah. Sorry, well, continue.
It's so stupid. Like, I mean, like, imagine you have dozens and dozens of machines. Like, no, it's just a software, you know, just disable fans. That's it. Like, check mark, done. So this is like a example of, the, and they're not doing it. So there's a market for, by the way, one more thing. My so I'm not shitting on Bitmain. Like, the my point is, if I was like doing the hardware company, I would be standardizing and opening up to like an ecosystem of apps. I would go the Windows way, because there's the Apple way or the Windows way. I think going the Windows way would be way smarter. You would have a ecosystem of management apps, ecosystem of firmwares. Like, imagine there would be a firmware for extreme hot environments, firmware for extreme cold environments. Like, they can be specialized use cases, or that's firmware that is extremely good on curtailment. And if you open up, you standardize, you can even take percentage of the revenue or anything. I think that would be so smart, and they're not doing it. So I'm a little bit sad for them, but hey.
Yeah, but look, Christian, this is exactly what competition does, right? You find this out, you provide a better product, people are using it, and then they're giving you, I don't know, a percentage or whatever it is from the hash rate that goes to you, I guess. Is that how Brains makes money?
Yes, so we have two commercial products currently. In the next 2 months, we're going to release the third one. So Pool takes 2.5% of the rewards, and the firmware takes 2.5% of your hash rate. But okay. We give you uplift and then take. But if you use, by the way, both, we cancel the pool fee.
Aha, interesting.
So we incentivize to use our, and we'll continue to do so. Like, the future is like platforms, ecosystems. So it's going to always work better if you're in one ecosystem, one platform. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see that more and more, like integration.
Okay,
interesting. Across the space, for sure.
All right. You just mentioned, you know, extreme hot, extreme cold environments. Is that something that Brains is looking to do now? Tell me, Christian, how can me installing Brains on my machines help with demand response over stock firmware?
Okay, I want to start with the hot first. It's way, way more interesting, because uptime, right? So you're in Texas, there's 40, 50 degrees Celsius outside. And what stock firmware does is it reaches dangerous temperature, and then it says, oh my God, it's dangerous temperature, I shut off. It's so naive. It's so naive. It sounds like we're, I don't know, year into Bitcoin mining as an industry.
Yeah.
And then you have to literally go and like turn it on, back on. It's stupid. So what we do, it's called dynamic performance scaling. So you set your like a dangerous temperature that you can set yourself, and then you set steps of watts that the power limit will start to decrease if you start hitting the dangerous temperatures. So imagine you're hitting 80 degrees, and you say, okay, whenever that starts to happening, please automatically firmware just start decreasing by, I don't know, 100 watts, and you can define it can be by 20 watts, doesn't matter, and it will just start decreasing by 100 watts and find, okay, I decrease this by 200 watts, now it's okay. And then it checks again, and then it finds out, hey, it's running really cool now. We can increase back to your preferred default power limit, and it will scale up. All of a sudden, so we and it's like pretty standard feature, right? Or pretty smart, rational, logical feature. And so we installed it in a big farm in Texas, and they called us in like 3 weeks, and they're like we're getting extremely more money like during this summer. Like, what's going on? And we're like, you have uptime. Before, really, it's just we improve your uptime. That's the thing. You had a lot of downtime because you were hitting dangerous temperature, and then the machines were shutting off. With us, we're just decreasing the hash rate, but you have the uptime. So the extreme environment is very, very interesting. And really, you have to focus on some features. And there are really a lot of how you handle temperatures, how you... Like in extreme cold environments, for example, it's very difficult. Yeah, anyway.
Do you give people like profiles of saying, hey, you know, this is what we've learned from this location. Do you want to apply the Texas profile, for instance?
I know everybody wants profiles. We don't believe that way. So I think we're just implementing them. There is a way to do it. But I understand the rationale, but it doesn't work that way. So it is every machine silicon is different. Every site is different. Like, you cannot generalize. It's like our way is the algorithms inside the firmware will always be smarter than people trying to figure it out. Like, that's the way. Like, it should get automated. Like, this is what we believe in, and we see it in numbers. So it's like, hey, just set the dangerous temperatures, set like the power limit that you want to use. Are you overclocking or underclocking? And then the rest can be managed automatically.
Yeah, but that's what I mean, Christian. Really, like, the algorithm to set those levels, you have to now have quite a lot of expertise, and you have to try things out, you know, and that costs you time and money. So the question is, if there's sort of
to make you money more, though,
suggestions.
It's like really. So when you start auto tuning, it can take even like 5 hours, even more. But until you do that, there is no way to say if your chips are good and if they're going to be performing well, a little bit underclocking, a little bit overclocking. There's no way. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to do it. You have S19s Pros, definitely underclock them by 200 watts. It's just not the case.
You have to try. But do you have to try every machine, or can you just bulk edit?
Yeah, but you can do it in what we call Brains Toolbox. We have it's free application running locally in your farm. It's like a BTC Tools, if you know BTC Tools. Yeah. So we have competing products with like 30 more features. We just released it in December. And it's very easy. You download it, you scan the network and say, hey, these 100 machines, tune them to these watts. And you let it run. And by the way, during the whole time, you have uptime, so... you're not losing money. You're just, you have to invest some effort to find the optimum efficiency setup of your farm. Otherwise, you're losing money.
Yeah, some work. That's fair game. Absolutely. Yeah, no. But I mean, your business essentially is to make the operation of an ASIC as easy as possible. Right. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah. Yeah.
How
we do it is rather with like a people help. So what we usually do is set up a group of the company, throw a lot of, we have such a smart people in our technical team. So we throw the people there and they're like, they help you step by step. They have the data, for example, from other operations, but we don't want to generalize it to put it in the software, but our people are way smarter. So they help you. Hey, try this setting, try this, set the temperatures like that and that. So that's how we do it. Like guided babysitting.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's how you make your
money. This is the way, really. Yeah.
That is the way, yes. the you just mentioned, so on a technical level, how does your revenue work from the hash rate? I take my S9 over there, right? It has Brains OS running on it. I point the hash rate to a pool. Where do you get your money?
Any pool, by the way. Yeah, you don't have to mine on our pool, so you point it to any pool, because it's one of the big misconceptions, really. There are some people thinking with our firmware on in our pool. I don't know. I have no idea how the misconception got created. No, mine anywhere. Like, we never hey, free market. And then we take, so you start using it, and then we take 2.5% of your hash rate and send it to our pool. So you never see it. What you see on your pool is already deducted.
Okay, yeah.
Sure. You don't see it. And then if you use our pool, then we give you the pool for free. There's also another way. Yes, some companies, they don't like the DeFi. Mostly the big dogs, right? Like the publicly traded company with a lot of auditors, and they're like the KPMGs come and they're like, what DeFi? What? And they're like, their head is blown. So they're like, please give us licensing. So yes, we support licensing as well. You can pay dollars or Bitcoin upfront for like per machine, per month, auditable, etc. We think it's stupid because DeFi is just the clean, very simple to use, auditable as well. But the auditors, they're scared of it.
You want to be paid in hash also, right? I mean, that's the next level. Be paid in fiat, be paid in Bitcoin, and then be paid in hash rate, right? That's what we want. Do you guys have any thoughts around demand response and specifying your OS around that? Is there any sort of variables that you guys are focusing
on? It's a big thing already. It will be even bigger thing. So when we were developing, we have a very good advantage. All the firmwares, they're based on CG miner. So Bitmain is CG miner based, which is just a fancy word, fancy name for, there's a special app in the firmware that is actually running the hashing. Imagine you have a phone, which is the firmware, and then you have an app for Gmail, let's say, and that app is doing the hashing. So when I say CGMiner, it's an app that is actually managing the work. And CGMiner is a 2011, 2012 built for GPUs or something like that. So it's a very old standard. It wasn't meant to be this much used on ASICs. So our advantage is, and written in C, I think, or C++, it doesn't matter. We wrote it from scratch in 2018. So already thinking about ASICs and the future and in Rust, it's like way better programming language. So we're achieving just because of that, for example, language choice, like coding choice, we're achieving like way faster pause times, boot up times, etc. Mm-hmm. Like uncomparable. So we have a very good start with that on the firmware level. We can very easily pause. We can very easily shut off, shut down. The on take, down take is way smoother, way faster. That's the first point. So we do have that, but we need to integrate with all the management apps, and So it is curtailments, demand response. It's a huge thing. There will be even bigger focus on it after halving in the next 2-3 years in Texas. Like you will have to play very, very smart games with all the programs, etc. So there's going to be big focus on it. We naturally, it's one of our top priorities.
We're so early, I think. So early.
Oh, big time. And it's a good thing. Yeah, I agree. Big time.
On a hardware level, would you be able to ramp up? So go back one step. Ramping up is a lot harder than ramping down. Like turning a machine off takes a power draw away for demand response. That's all good. From what I understand, we're still not super, super quick, right? So a lithium battery, for instance, can take power out of the grid a lot faster than a Bitcoin miner can, because it takes time until the ASIC reaches the power draw that we set it to. How far are we from getting, you know, making ASICs even faster when it comes to power draw?
Mm-hmm.
And what's needed for that? Do you know?
Interesting question. I don't, and I never asked, so I will definitely after the podcast ask. We have a great hardware team, so they're nerding you out about these things every single day, so I'll definitely ask. I know that we have even those numbers way faster than stock, but there are for sure hardware limitations and hardware things that can be improved. I don't have that answer, but I'll definitely ask. It's interesting.
Do you know if Watts miners can be made just as fast as Ant miners?
I don't know the hardware details on that level compared.
No, because you know that's again something I heard is like Watts miners are just much more slow to respond, and they take ages to start hashing and ramp up to the set speeds. So that's why, you know, for demand response, it makes much more sense to use something like Brains OS on any Antminer machine, right? And then, I mean, it's all about the hardware as well, right? You wrote in one of your Telegram channels that the XPs and the Ks have like problematic ALU hash boards instead of the other ones. Yeah. Like, why does that matter?
Yeah.
Give me some.
By the way, so maybe now is the time. So here's our weird fancy beast, right? So it's like
look at that beauty.
So it's like it's our hardware team made a Christmas present for our founders and our CEO, and it's running, but it's just a fancy look through ASIC with some of our components that we produce, and there are already hash boards that we produce, and they were aluminium as well. So we actually had the aluminium experience before they created the XPs with aluminium boards, and we had a lot of troubles with them already. So we knew, so when we saw them in the XPs, we're like, oh my god, that's gonna be bad. And exactly that happened. It's just the heat dissipation works differently. When you ship them, there might be some changes in temperatures. It might already change the structure of the board, and then the heat dissipates differently. So a lot of problems. We went the same way. We went the same way because we were like, hey, aluminium is smart. Better heat dissipation from the other side.
Yeah.
But then we found out really the hard way, because exactly, we started to ship. So we created the aluminium boards here in Czech Republic. Then we were shipping them to the US, and we were finding like brutal failure rates. So we went there, we investigated, and we found all of these. So
yes, when because, we saw the why is it? Because XPs, the aluminium moves as the temperatures change, yeah. And then the ASICs so, on top of the exactly. hashboard sort of gets less attached.
Exactly. And imagine like you it bends a little bit, and then the heat is, for example, is not this, so some places can be way hotter, and then you burn the chip, etc. So like the idea, the intentions were great, mm-hmm. like it's going to be better cooled, etc., but the reality was it's not working well. So okay. we dropped it completely. I think we're not doing aluminium boards at all, and I hope Bitmain learned their lesson as well.
Yeah. All right.
And again, shows how early we are.
Yeah, 100%. But it's interesting. I didn't know you guys were into hardware as well. So it's not just the OS, it's the pool. Then what else are you guys doing? Yeah. Just give me a brief rundown.
Hey, so commercial products currently too, the pool, the yeah. mining pool, the firmware. Then the third commercial product software is coming in a month or two. Mm-hmm. And then we do non-commercial products. So this is Brains Toolbox. It's for local management. It's BTC tools kind of thing. And it helps you with installation of our firmware, or you can use it for management as well. It supports stock firmware. Then we do Farm Proxy, which is large farms need to aggregate their hash rate when they're sending it to a pool, or remote locations need somehow aggregating the hash rate when sending to pool. It reduces the bandwidth.
Yeah.
And why we do free software, it's like a, you know, relationship opener. Like we provide you with the proxy, you like it, so naturally you want to use the full stack. And then we work on Stratum V2 because we're the co-authors, but it's open source, it's okay. non-pro. And then we started doing hardware. Mm-hmm. As I said, the future is integration, like ecosystem platforms. So naturally, either we cooperate with somebody doing hardware, or we have to do it ourselves. It's very simple.
Yeah.
The future, yeah. We love Bitcoin mining. We have a lot of experience, really. All the firmware that we ever made, we had to reverse engineer every single thing in each Bitmain machine. So like there's a Bitmain with their, but we're just next to them with the same level of knowledge, because really they give us nothing. Zero documentation, zero documentation of the chips. We had to reverse engineer everything. So we have a lot of hardware experience stemming from when we started doing the firmware in 2017. So naturally, we see, like, we have a long list of things that can be done better. So natural thing is, hey, either somebody works with us or we're going in.
Yeah. All right. Briefly, I want to get into the pool. Already have what is that? Hardware, yeah. Oh, okay, cool.
So that was our first hardware. So that's the control board.
Yeah.
So we started doing control boards. Where is it?
There you go.
Doing control board. Beauty. This is the control board for S19s. Etc. So we'll see, I hope, two new hardware products this year from Brains.
Amazing. Christian, I want to cover the pool quickly. Yeah. I talked to Mehdi from LendCon, so we don't have to go over the basics. But what is different about your pool? You're operating a primary pool, right? So you run your own nodes directly.
So we are the oldest mining pool since 2010. We mine the most Bitcoin, 1.3 million. It's not us, it's our clients, of course. But well, nobody will ever overtake the oldest and the most coins mined. Hey, to be honest, pools are very, very commodity software. It's to be honest, there's like really your preference is basically the team that stands behind it, the UX experience. But then it's basically soft things. But then the hard things are really what other things are offered around it. Like really think about like pools in the past 5 years were just raised to zero on the fees.
Yeah.
Really. It's like the bigger you are, the better deal you're getting. We cannot get you anything more exciting, sort of. It's very basic commodity software, really. Everybody can spin up a pool in like a day on Amazon services, like Ocean. You can spin it up in a day. There are open source implementations of pool mining pools, I mean, you know. So really think about pools as pool of users then you work with other services. For example, Foundry is going the way that they help you with financing, help you with insurance, help you with transportation of the hardware, help you with hosting. We go the software way. So we help you, hey, if you're using our pool already, maybe you use our management software. Maybe you use our proxy. Then I know Bitmain is going the way, hey, you're buying the hardware from us, use our pool. So it's very, very... So think about pools as pool of users, very, 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 very comparable services to everybody else. So it's about what other things they can offer. So exactly like if you use our firmware, you get our pool for free. They're all, everybody's incentivizing to use the stack. So sort of,
yeah.
So think about the team that is standing behind, you know, are they doing ordinals? Are they doing shitcoining? Or are they like us, we're Bitcoin idealists, we're Bitcoin maxis as it gets. So we focus only on Bitcoin. Things like that matter. So that's what helps you with choosing.
I remember last year, there was a bit of a problem with the luck that you guys had in your pool, right? So you had a bit of an issue finding blocks. Yeah. Which is,
the probabilistic nature of Bitcoin mining 100%. Is fucking crazy. Sorry. It's crazy. It's like, it's really crazy. So we have a lot of luck experience, I would say. A lot. So it was a very long and hard decision to go from luck away. So not away, but we still deal with it. But I cannot imagine doing, because... Let's put it this way. You need at least, let's say, 3-4% of the total hash rate network in order to like somehow manageably work with the variants.
Yeah.
Right? The smaller they are, the crazier the variance goes. So let's say I know that there is a number like probabilistic, but I think it's around 2-4%. And if you're anywhere lower than that, it gets really, really, really tricky. Like, anyway, so hey, mining is a hardcore business.
But how do you deal with that? Every level. Christian, how have you dealt with that? Because as a primary pool, you don't have the option to sell your hash rate to somebody else and get the money via FPPS.
There are various strategies that we will. The pool business will change a lot, I think, in the next let's say three years. Like there's gonna be things like arbitrage. There's gonna be things like exactly selling on the primary secondary markets, like for example I hear more and more the family offices, like the sort of like rich small funds, right? They're very hungry for hash rate and to mine on solo mining because they want the clean coins on their books. So we're gonna see a lot of various techniques how to actually make more margin on the mining and like hedge your strategies as a pool, because you can be doing five different things at the same time, decreasing the risk on your operational end and making actually more money for your customers. So that's where we're going. That's what we're going to do as well. Making more for the end user and actually de-risking on our end.
Are you running PPS Plus still or FPPS? No.
FPPS.
And before it was PPS Plus, right?
Before it was scoring. I don't know what are the super tiny nuances.
No, I mean...
Scoring. It was called scoring.
Okay. I just wanted to understand from you, like, how you guys manage that. Again, via FPPS, essentially paying your miners for all the shares that are valid, right? And if you end up not mining anything with it, as a primary pool, you do not have the capability of selling it to somebody else and offloading that risk. So the question is really like, yeah, what do you do? You know, I would ask Antpool, F2O,
exactly. So, same thing.
But I don't understand, how do you manage that risk of saying, hey, I have zero revenue.
So there are various strategies. So you can be selling portion of the hash rate, for example, on a spot market hash market. Yeah? We don't have those yet, but it's one of the ways we talked about it a lot in the past. It's one of the ways that we're going also. There's a secondary market where you can sell for higher profit. There's a hash rate, like a gambling. There's the family offices mining for themselves clean coins. So there are like the spot markets and there are like private OTC markets where you can buy. There are insurance companies that are actually providing insurance products on de-risking the FPPS and they're making margin on it. Hey, there is a lot of stuff. All right. All of it is pretty new. So
I want to talk to somebody like that. I want to talk to in hash rate insurance.
Yeah, definitely not me, because I'm not the super nerdy guy. Hey, we have so Pavel Moravec, why we have two eyes, right? Everybody asks that. So there are actually two co-founders, Jan and Pavel. So they're the two brains, they're the two eyes and brains. So he's one of the smartest guy I ever met. And he's one of the co-founders, and he was for the longest time the leader of Pool. So he was coding the Pool. He's a nerdy IT guy. And his vision is Hashrate as a commodity. So if you want to nerd out about this, I'll 100% guarantee there's no better person than Pavel.
Yeah, no, because I saw it's coming. Monkey. I had a few episodes before I jumped on the YouTube where we interviewed Block Green and a couple other guys that did this Reactor as well, you know, selling Hashrate as a commodity. It's coming. Maybe we should revisit that again. Briefly before we...
For sure, because everybody's chasing it, but nobody knows yet. Really, I see it more and more. Like, everybody's chasing it, but nobody knows if it's really... I believe there will be a market, but nobody can like predict how big. And there are various speculation. And then you can do, you know, like financial derivatives on Hashrate and et cetera.
I mean, that's what Luxa is doing as well, but the whole family office thing that you said, exactly. And insurance thing, that's really interesting to me. Yeah, before we close out here, Christian, quickly tell me all about Ibia in as short of a time frame that you can.
Oh, okay. So we generally brands, I want to show the box. So we focus on education. So we're publishing Bitcoin mining, separation of standard money. Then we do Bitcoin mining handbook and Bitcoin mining economics, right? So we focus heavily on education. All of those books can be downloaded for free. So I'm not shilling a commercial product or you can buy it to
leave
support
the links
us.
In the show notes.
So more education coming this year. And naturally, if we're very like bullish on education, there was an idea to create like an educational platform here in Europe of all the smart people that care about Bitcoin, care about Bitcoin mining, putting the minds together and say, hey, maybe we go and fight a little bit for the rights of Bitcoin mining in Europe, because we believe Bitcoin mining is a very, very useful thing. It's not a bad thing that boils the oceans. And maybe... the busy politician, let's put it this way, I'll be
very
more diplomatic.
Busy. Extremely
the busy politicians,
busy. Yes.
Exactly, the extremely busy politicians maybe need help with the education. That's why we created like a platform of so EBA, it's European Bitcoin Energy Association. It got launched like just a few weeks ago. We're just starting, so you're gonna hear more and more about it. Super smart people, including like the person that was building the grids in Germany, like extreme grid expert in whole Europe. Then we have us as brands, as software provider. Then we have Skilling Mining. They are doing mining in Ireland. Very cool stuff with waste. So we're putting cool minds, like smart minds together. And we want to say, hey, Bitcoin mining can help with energy build, energy infrastructure build up with renewables in Europe. So we want to educate so that Bitcoin mining has a place here in Europe.
Shout out also to TerraHash Energy and Rachel. I know she's just Big been time. on Peter McCormick.
She's the mastermind behind it. Like, I mean, in a like, she's the one pulling the like putting us all together, creating. Big kudos. Rachel's the heart of the whole association.
The goat. Yeah. You must listen to the interview she's done on what Bitcoin did. I think it highlights Ibia a lot better and in a lot more detail than what we can do today. All right. Last question, Christian.
Sure.
Bitcoin. Does it consume enough energy yet or not?
Not enough. We need more. And we will see. And we, by the way, so we just had a difficulty. I just went 8% up. So we're going in the right direction.
Where do you want to send people? Where do they find you? Where do they find Brains?
Definitely go to brains.com. II. Remember, I know it's a little bit difficult. Brains.com/books. Really a good place to start. We have a lot of educational materials for free. Dive deep the rabbit hole. Mining is fun, really. And if you want to, you know, follow me, just go on Twitter, write Christian, it will find Christian Brains.
Let's stand you're being, you're
my
being
DMs are open, so if you need.
You're being too modest. I have on my website, I think 90% of the articles on my resources page are Brains blog articles, because they are really a treasury of knowledge. And you know, when people ask me about Bitcoin mining, I most often tell them, look, visit that website, have a look through some of these articles, read them, and then come back and let's talk on a whole different level, because then you don't have to go over the basics and
really appreciate
mining off of solar and demand response and all the heat reuse stuff. So it's definitely worth a look. And I noticed the one book that you held up, I read that, the purple one, is a culmination of some of the blog articles as well. It's just a more easy format. So definitely have a look there, guys, if you want to learn, you know, the basics around mining.
And there's going to be way more coming this year. So definitely follow Brains on Twitter. We're going to continue working hard on education.
Nice. Thank you, Christian, for all your time today. I'm happy that you jumped on here with me.
Thank you.
Guys, if you learned anything new, you know what to do. We talk mining every Sunday on Swan's YouTube channel. Stay tuned, learn more. Let me know what questions you have and who you'd like to see on here maybe. With that being said, see you next time. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Cheers.